So we're in a series at the moment that we've called Lifecraft from God. It's all based on the book of Proverbs. So if you've been online, you might have seen proverbial tweets all week and those sorts of things. So you can check those out. But we've got a real person to come and talk to you, not just just an interweb type thing. Pete Sammons is going to be talking to us and taking us forward on our Lifecraft from God. So welcome, Pete. You might want one of these. You can give him a clap as well. Usually when he's at school, if people do that, he'll tell you to be quiet. But I think you don't mind it today. That's great. Right, there we go. Let's pray for us as we wait for Pete to talk to us. Thank you, Lord, for all the wisdom in Proverbs, and help us to just listen to it today and just pray you'll teach us new things through Pete. Amen. Over to you.
I get applause in all my lessons, actually, I think at school, Ben, you'll find. As Ben said, throughout this series, we're looking through this book of Proverbs and looking at the many themes that occur throughout it. And Proverbs is like a compass, really. It's a compass that helps us navigate the murky waters of life. It provides wisdom and instructions for living and guidance for achieving a strong character. Proverbs tells us how to succeed in any situation by remaining calm-headed in a crisis, for example, or patient when pressed, gentle when challenged, and firm when confronted with temptation. It's an active book, and like Ben said a few weeks ago, it should perhaps be called Proverbs. Pro for professional, verbs for action. However, above all, the book of Proverbs is a source of all wisdom. And it says that the source of all wisdom is in a right and close relationship with God. My prayer for this morning is that you leave here inspired to delve deeper into that relationship, that you will continue exploring how to become more Christ-like, and in particular, how we can live our lives and interact with others. Let's just pray quickly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your book and this amazing book of Proverbs that has so much wisdom inside of it. Lord, as we explore it this morning, will you just open our ears and our eyes to what you've got to say to us individually? And will you teach us how to become wise stewards of our speech? Amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Who remembers hearing that as a child from your parent or another student sarcastically saying it across the playground as you wait for the hopscotch? Now, as a child, for a while, it acts as some kind of magical shield, a protection that you seem invincible to the name-calling of other people. However, in reality, it's utter rubbish. It's far from true, maybe unless you're a dinosaur. Words can hurt, they do hurt, and quite often far deeper than the breaking of bones or the scratching of skin. However, words also have the amazing ability to heal and bring about amazing change. Fortunately for us in the book of Proverbs, it says a lot about words and speaking wisely. Unlike the sticks and stones proverb, the proverb speaks incredible truth into our lives and provides a series of simple messages on how to go about living a life that pleases God. In general, the writers of Proverbs say that our words should be honest and few. The book of Proverbs lifts up the virtue of calm words that are apt for the occasion and circumstance. It encourages us to make a study of our life in order to develop and establish a godly character. The goal of that study is to become wise men and women of honor and integrity. Words are an important facet of how we live our lives as godly men and as godly women. Now, to be honest, most chapters in Proverbs have something to say on speech. So in an attempt to summarize it, I've looked at five key points that we could explore together to see what Proverbs has to offer us into when we speak and how we should speak. Now, we are going to be jumping about a bit, so you feel free to use the Bibles in front of you, but the verses, the key verses will be on the screen behind me. I've tended to use the Message translation just because actually when I was studying this, I felt it gave a really useful illustration of what the proverb was actually meaning. Now, as we explore the topic, I'd encourage you to just think about the relationships and the different contexts that you find yourself in on a daily basis. Perhaps it's at work or in a family, with friends, or in the school playground, or perhaps even at church. And allow the wisdom of this book to speak to you on how we can become more Christ-like in those relationships. So let's start by looking at what Proverbs has to say on when to speak. Now, I suspect you can all imagine a time in your life where you sent that email or you said something, and only seconds later, you massively regret the way you've said it. Now, I love technology. I use it lots in my teaching at school. And the internet, I think, has dramatically changed the world that we live in. Probably more than any invention in the last 100 years. However, there is no doubt that the speed that it operates at can cause major challenges and difficulties to the way we speak. Whether it's through email, texting, Facebook, Twitter, people now say things in a very public domain that 20 years ago they would have thought twice about before even saying it. In the New Testament, in James 1, verse 19, he says that everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. When we're quick to speak, we can often find ourselves speaking incorrectly or inappropriately. Maybe I should just stop there. In Proverbs 25, verse 11, the author places high value on timely speech. It says this: the right word at the right time is like a custom-made piece of jewelry, and a wise friend's timely reprimand is like a gold ring slipped on your finger. Proverbs here is emphasizing the value of timely speech. Whether it's positive praise or constructive criticism to help one improve, the richness of it being timed well is most value. A few verses later, in verse 15, it says, patient persistence pierces through indifference. Gentle speech breaks down rigid defenses. Emphasizing the power of appropriate speech when timed well can overcome the most stubborn or hard-hitting of people or managers, perhaps. If you stay calm and stick to your rational argument, it can have great power. Proverbs 16, verse 23 says that they make a lot of sense, these wise folks. So he's talking here about wise people. Whenever they speak, their reputation increases. Now, this reminds me of one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, the story of Joseph and his amazing technicolor dream coat. And now, on the face of it, Joseph didn't always speak well. He spent most of his younger years going from left, right, and center, getting himself into trouble through the words that he spoke. As he shared about the dreams that he had had. However, what he did do was follow what he felt God was saying and didn't just shy away from those difficult conversations. As he grew older, he became wiser in his speech. He spoke with more patience and appropriate timing. When he gave the baker the news of his imminent execution, he didn't pretend differently. He didn't shy away from the truth. But he did say it gently and with an element of, please don't take my word for it. Later, he interprets Pharaoh's dreams and shows even more wisdom, explaining that 7 years of plenty would be followed by 7 years of famine. He spoke wisely to Pharaoh. I particularly like how towards the end he goes to Pharaoh, you know what, Pharaoh, you need a man here. You need a man who can take care of Egypt, a very wise man. And I think a strong wink at the end. Who could that man be? I think it's me, Pharaoh. I can certainly remember a number of managers that I've worked under where actually you have to give them the idea, or your idea as if it's their idea, and then convince them that you're the right person for the job. Gentle speech breaks down rigid defenses. So knowing when to speak is important, but often I think the hardest thing is knowing when not to speak. Proverbs offers us some insight, into when not to speak. In Proverbs 10, verses 18 to 21, it offers some fairly hard-hitting advice about the discipline of our speech. It says the following: liars secretly hoard hatred, fools openly spread slander. The more talk, the less truth. The wise measure their words. The speech of a good person is worth waiting for. The blabber of the wicked is worthless. The talk of a good person is rich fare for many, but chatterboxes die of an empty heart. Now, in the first few years of my marriage, I quickly realized there was a time not to speak. Not every problem needed solving in that moment, even if in my eyes there was a very simple solution. I had to learn to listen and measure my words. I'm still learning. Learning to not speak is probably one of the wisest and godliest things to learn. Yet, if you're like me, and you like a good ramble or blabber, as Proverbs puts it, and a good voice of your own opinion, it can be one of the hardest things to develop. When I think of wise people in my life, the people that I surround myself with for wisdom and for advice, they often say little. But what they do say holds truth and powerful in its accuracy. So we are called to measure our words and be wise in how much we say. As a teacher, words are the tool I use on a daily basis. I'm entrusted by God, by my pupils, parents, and colleagues to communicate truth. To be honest, I could tell my students whatever I liked, and they would believe me. I have to be constantly on my guard as to what I say and how I say it. When we speak, it's impossible to get those words back. Whilst I can correct an error on a spreadsheet, or I can fix a piece of equipment in my department fairly easily, I can't as easily take back the words that I say. It's a bit like trying to get toothpaste back into a tube of toothpaste. It's impossible. Toothpaste flows one way out of the tube, as does our speech. So with that in mind, let's look and explore what Proverbs has to say on how we speak. And there's a few key points here. So first we're going to look at positive words. So as we explored at the beginning of this talk, the modern proverb, "sticks and stones may break my bones," words do really have the power to hurt and damage people. Dipping into James again, he describes the tongue as a wild beast that needs to be tamed. It's described like a rudder on a boat or a bit in the mouth of a horse. Something very small can control something absolutely massive. Satan can use our mouths to create all kinds of havoc. It is very much like a wild beast. Now, we will never probably master our tongue, but we need to try and just keep it in check. And that's why positive words are really important. With encouragement and positive words, we can build up and bless our children, spouse, friends and family, colleagues, in many, many ways. Proverbs 10, verse 11 describes the mouth as the righteous is the fountain of life. The mouth of the righteous is the fountain of life. Our words of positivity and encouragement can build up others and bring about huge, amazing change. However, negative words can also create all sorts of trouble. In World War II, Churchill used words to galvanize people and bring about incredible positive change. But at the same time, Hitler was using words to bring about all sorts of trouble and bring in hell to earth. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." When our words are positive about and to each other, it not only stops people from biting negative fruit, but can also have an incredible power to build up others. In professional sport, the most successful coaches and leaders are often the ones that communicate and encourage others well. In leading the England rugby team to the World Cup success in 2003, Sir Clive Woodward reflected that his team was made up of great individuals. His great team was made up of great individuals. In combining, in combining them into a successful team, his role was not to teach them how to play rugby, but to how to individually encourage them and build them up. Now, words can also be easily confused or misunderstood, and that's why we need to be careful in how we say them and choose them wisely. Now, I remember in the early stages of our relationship, myself and Naomi, we didn't live that near each other, so we used to communicate a lot by a thing called MSN. Now, MSN was effectively an internet-based chat room where you typed to each other. Teenagers up and down the country were on these sites pretending to do homework to their parents whilst actually they were just talking to one another on these chat rooms. So powerful was MSN that specific language started to occur that some of us now use in a regular daily conversation, such as BRB, be right back, or LOL, laugh out loud. Now, to the day, both myself and Naomi's mothers still believe that LOL stands for lots of love. Now, there's been some unfortunate texts that have come through in recent years when we've been going through some difficult times that say, LOL, mum, kiss. Fortunately, we realise that they've misunderstood. In one of our early MSN conversations, Naomi suddenly announced out of the blue that she had cold feet. Now, I sank in my chair at the desk. I thought she meant cold feet about the relationship. The relationship was over. It hadn't really even begun. I nervously typed my reply, "What do you mean?" And I waited. I could see that she was typing because MSN, it told you when someone was replying, you sat there nervously waiting away. And eventually she just said, "Yeah, I've got my slippers on and I've still got cold feet." Now, 11 years later into our relationship, I am fully aware of her remarkable ability to have cold feet at any time of the year. But at that moment, and in the emotion of a new relationship, it meant something completely different. The misinterpretation or translation of words can have catastrophic effects. Wars and battles have been fought on the misunderstanding of a message or a religious text. As we pray and ask God to become wise stewards of our speech, we should ask that he blesses us with the right positive words to ensure that we're not easily misunderstood. As Proverbs says, our tongue has great power, so let's ensure we use it wisely. Fortunately, Proverbs says a lot about wisdom and particularly about wise speech. In Proverbs 8:7-8, it says the following: the mouth chews and savors and relishes truth. I can't stand the taste of evil. You only hear true and right words from my mouth. Not one syllable will be twisted or skewed. Here we see an offering of how to speak wisely based in truth and faithfulness. As we speak truth, faithfulness radiates out from our lips. By being engaged in a relationship with the Father, our words will shine truth and wisdom to those around us. They will not be twisted or skewed with slander or lies, but wholehearted truth. Furthermore, Proverbs 12, verses 17-18, goes on to say, truthful witness by a good person clears the air, but liars lay down a smokescreen of deceit. Rash language cuts and maims, but there is healing in the words of the wise. I love how our wise words can bring about healing. We need to pray for discernment and wisdom to lead us in our conversations so that we can bring about miraculous change rather than opening or deepening wounds. Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, kind words heal and help, cutting words wound and maim again. Again, in chapter 16, verse 24, it describes gracious speech like clover honey. I love that. Good taste to the soul, quick energy for the body. Sounds like some brilliant energy drink. As we build up one another and encourage each other with gentle, positive words, we will bring about a deep healing, renewed life to those we speak to. Some examples of people who have brought about amazing change through positive words. One example being Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai. She demonstrated the power of words over the violence and physical abuse she was subjected to under the Taliban regime. Her words have started to bring about positive change in Pakistan and bringing the right of education to women. There's some way to go, but it's a start, and she's used words rather than violence. History is littered with other like-minded people who have brought about amazing change through words. Our words matter. Joseph spoke truth to those he encountered, even if that wasn't the easiest thing to say at the time. As I was preparing this, I was thinking about, well, what would somebody who had faithfulness radiant from their lips look like today? Or more to the point, how often do people see me as somebody who speaks truth and wise words? Perhaps in the workplace, you find yourself being approached by colleagues to discuss personal matters. Naomi's often surprised to find herself in a situation where people come up to her who she doesn't really know that well and start opening up about some quite personal and serious issues. I think it's because people see her as a wise person and how she communicates. She's quick to listen, but often slow to speak. Perhaps you take the stance when somebody says something to you, they say something inappropriate to another colleague. But you do that in a gentle and gracious way that we discussed before, and people accept your words and rebuke what they've said. Or on the other hand, how often do we say, I don't mind, or I'm okay, when really we do mind greatly, and rarely are we just okay? Not that we should walk around telling everybody all our troubles all the time, but at least encourage a community where it's okay not to be okay. Where it's okay to be going through a tough time and to question why. Now, these are two characteristics that I've certainly found in this community. And I hope that you would too. There's no doubt that the wise words of people here have helped many bring about healing to others. Finally, in offering criticism, we might be asked to offer criticism at times, and Proverbs gives us some advice on this. In speaking truth, we, like Joseph, are bound to find ourselves in situations where we need to both receive and offer criticism to correct our ways. We should trust our friends to offer this criticism. A key to a good relationship is the ability to communicate honestly and supportively. Proverbs 27 verse 5 explains that a spoken reprimand is better than approval that's never expressed. Proverbs advises that the openness of criticism is far greater than anything done in silence or concealment, even if uttered in public. In writing a school report or speaking to a parent at parents' evening, I'll always start with some positive praise, no matter who the student is and what they've done throughout the year. As I offer my criticism, I always try to set it in a way that builds them up. Even our criticism can be gentle and kind and positive and wise. So how do we move forward from here? How do we learn to talk good talk? How do we become better at talking at the right time with the right amount of words in a way that's positive, gentle, wise, and allows us to offer criticism appropriately? Now, as with all the talks in this series, a lot comes out of our relationship with God. Spending time with God and dwelling in his presence will in turn make us more Christ-like in our daily lives. God graciously empowers us to speak well. Walking closely with God will gain lifecraft in speaking wisely. As you turn to him with open hands and in an attitude of worship, you will discover that God has a plan for your life, and he offers you wise words so that you can handle the various relationships, both positive and hard, that you find yourself in. If this is something that you struggle with, perhaps start by praying each morning for God to empower your speech. A really useful psalm is Psalm 19, verse 14, that says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Ask God for an increase in patience and more time that allows us to hold our tongues. Rarely will we regret holding back and thinking about things before we speak. Yet, once those words have left us, it can be impossible to draw them back in. And finally, encourage each other. Let's establish a culture of encouragement and speaking in truth. Remember, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can also hurt you. But they can also bring about incredible and miraculous change. Look, why don't we stand? As we were in worship, I was just thinking about what God was trying to say this morning in terms of for the prayer ministry time. And one of the things that really struck me was this sense of positive words. And for some people, that can bring about all sorts of emotions, all sorts of pain and a history of negative words and words that are destructive and that have hurt. And so that's one group of people that I'd love to pray for this morning in terms of as we come to a close, is people that have got in their history of a pain of negative words, of not being praised, of not being built up. And the other one was just a sense of, and perhaps this is a personal thing for me as well, is sometimes finding yourself in that situation where you realize that you're almost on the edge of gossiping or into gossiping. And God just want to say, that's not me. That's not the man or woman I've made you to be. And that actually, you know, I've called you as my child to speak wise words and to hold your tongue. So in a minute, it'd be great if that's you to come up and we could pray for you. Have you got anything, Ben?
Yeah, I get a sense of God really wants to deal with those things when, you know, as Pete was saying, so as he was talking about the negative stuff, you know exactly that you've been affected by negative words, negative things to you. So, you know, as we sung about the cross and the power of that, you know, God really, really wants to break that. So break that hold on you. So I'd love to pray for you guys in doing that. And also there's a lot of people here who I get a sense that you're thinking, I really want to speak wisely. You've also got lots of influence in terms of your words, and maybe God's just commissioning you and wanting to say to you, use it well, but you need to do that through his power, and then great things will happen. So I think this could be a little thing for you. It could be a medium thing. It could be a massive thing. It doesn't really matter, but what we'll do, I'll just pray from the front for us. But specifically, if you know you've been hurt by words, you just love to be healed from that, or you know you've got influence in your words and you'd like to have, you know, greater wisdom and just got into that, we just want to pray for this, because there's real power in forgiveness and also in God's commission. Father God, where there is hurt from things that people have said, just break it now through your Spirit. We pray for forgiveness of those people who said those words. And if that's specifically for you, you just need to, in your mind, just forgive that person who said it, or the people. It could be many people. As we forgive them, Lord, as you forgive us. And we pray we just replace that with your Spirit. Replace it with your words of love for all those people who've been hurt by words. And also where you just want to stand out and have wise words, may God fill you with his wisdom that we hear in Proverbs, that we hear throughout the Bible, just fill you with his wisdom. And your Spirit come just to go deeply to our hearts and our minds and what we say. In your name we pray. Amen. If you want to take that a bit further, if you want to be prayed for a bit more or talk with the guys around you, then feel free to do that. One way we hear from God is sometimes physically you get a sensation, and Jerry was talking to me earlier, he got real back pain that he didn't come with. It's probably gone from him. But if you've come here this morning with quite significant back pain or something, maybe it's a sign of God wants to heal that. So come to me at the front or one of the leaders and we'll pray for you. But other than that, that's as official an ending we get.